For WCYB Digital Radio, I'm Melissa O'Leary. Joining me today is Caitlin Henze, who fell victim to a complex identity fraud scheme involving people impersonating her bank and the FTC. Welcome, Caitlin.
Thank you very much, Melissa.
Well, let's kind of get into it. It sounds like this was a multi-pronged fraud scheme. Where did it start?
It all started with a phone call in May of 2023. The phone call popped up with the caller ID of Wells Fargo Fraud Department. So I ended up answering it. And at that point, the person on the other line explained that they were a fraud investigator with Wells Fargo and that my identity had been stolen, my bank accounts had been hacked, and there was some suspicious activity going on in my bank account with money transfers that they wanted to alert me to. So when I logged into my Wells Fargo bank account, I did see some of that suspicious activity. There were some transactions that I didn't make. Things looked a little bit off. So at that point, that was kind of the start of where I began to panic.
That must have been terrifying. What were your next steps from there?
So the next steps from there is the gentleman on the other line basically reassured me and said, don't worry, we will take you through this. We'll help you get through this situation. They had said that essentially my identity had been stolen. They repeated back my bank account number, social security number, all sorts of identifying information, and said that as long as I trusted them and cooperated with their process, I would get my money back and have my bank accounts and credit lines secured. And I also would not be, I guess, a victim of what they thought was money laundering. Essentially, they'd said someone had stolen my identity and was using it to launder money. So if I didn't cooperate, then I would be the prime suspect in this money laundering case, which would potentially end me up in jail. So the panic continued to get larger and larger. And at this point, I was so clouded with those emotions and had these people on the other line reassuring me that they knew what they were doing, they were going to help me. Honestly, at that point, my judgment was to trust them because I didn't really know what other options I had at that point.
Right. And it's just so manipulating in hindsight, I'm sure, to feel like they totally took advantage of you.
Yes, very much so. They preyed on a lot of my emotions throughout the 3 to 4 week period that I was involved with these people. Essentially, what happened is the Wells Fargo fraud officer transferred me to an officer from the Federal Trade Commission, Officer Jonathan Wolford. I asked for verification, and he sent me his ID badge and ID badge number, and looked at it and checked out. You know, there was an Officer Jonathan Wolford. And then at that point, Officer Jonathan Wolford and there was a couple other members on the team, but primarily Officer Wolford, or supposed Officer Wolford, who I worked with, that led me through a wild series of steps over the course of about a month to help secure my money when in the long term, ultimately, they ended up stealing all of my money and leaving me with massive credit card debt.
And I think you also had a tax liability as well. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's been happening more recently. So as part of the scam, I ended up taking all the money out of my 401k and investment accounts and transferring that into my bank accounts, which they had access to. And then they had instructed me to take that money, transfer it to a bank in New York. So from the 401k company's perspective and the investment companies, all of that money is considered taxable income that I am liable for. And with the Tax Cuts and Job Act that was enacted in 2017, individuals can no longer write off any money that was a part of a scam or an identity theft or some sort of fraud situation. So not only do I have essentially barely enough money to live on, but I am now faced with over $20,000 in tax debt that the IRS and state departments are not giving any leniency to me at all on to pay off in just about 5 days here.
My goodness. I'm sorry to hear that. It sounds like you're kind of in the middle of this. Has there been any relief along the way? Has entity helped you or helped claw back any of the money?
No entities or government offices have helped at all. I have received a tremendous outpouring of love and support, both emotionally and financially, from some of my dear friends, family members, and community, which I am extremely grateful for. But I have tried every single angle with local, state, countrywide government institutions, the financial institutions. I filed claims at all of my credit card companies, the 401k companies, Wells Fargo, submitted tons and tons of paperwork, and have gotten absolutely zero help from all of them. And most recently, no help or grace at all from the IRS in extending the time period I have to pay off my taxes without incurring penalties. So yes, it's made me feel quite frustrated and frankly, just really disappointed at how these institutions respond to people who have been victims like myself.
Right. And it sounds like the scheme almost turned you into their money mule and all of this activity, quote unquote, orchestrated on your own, even though you were being manipulated in the middle of a huge kind of fraud issue. Have you been able to open any sort of a case with law enforcement?
I have. I opened a case with my local police department in where I live. I did open a case with the real Federal Trade Commission, as well as the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI. And again, I've gotten a couple follow-up calls where basically they've said, oh, we'll keep your case open for up to 5 years, but we can't find anyone and we're not willing to give anything to you until we catch the criminals. And unfortunately, these criminals these days that are doing these identity theft scams are so intelligent and so sophisticated, and they understand how to prey on people's emotions. They also understand exactly what to say to get people and exactly what to do to get people to trust them. And then they end up, you know, wiping your money. It's outside of the U.S. somewhere. So all the local and federal law enforcements have basically said, like, we can't help you unless we find your money. And that's pretty much impossible. So too bad.
Yeah, it's just a sad state of affairs. And I'm sorry that you're going through it, because at the end of the day, that's your livelihood, it's your reputation, and there's so much more on the line.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So as you move forward, what's your advice to others that might hear this podcast and be in the middle of being defrauded in this way? What are some of the signs that you kind of observed that in retrospect were red flags?
Yes, and that's a good point, because yes, in retrospect, there are certainly some red flags that I wish I would have caught back then, but I developed a relationship and trusted people that I thought were legitimate. So I'd say, you know, a couple of things from a practical standpoint. There's a lot of guidance out there on the internet on how to protect yourself from identity theft and scams. I'm sure Cybercrime Magazine also has a variety of different pieces of guidance, everything from, you know, making sure that you don't trust someone that is saying that they're a federal official unless you can, like, meet someone in person and verify that, as well as just always running things by someone else, you know, someone that you do trust. A lot of these scams are happening to single women, unfortunately, because they don't have that spouse to run something by, or that partner, which is the case for me. And then I'd say on the bigger piece, something that I've really learned is to just trust myself and trust my intuition. You know, everything that they were asking me to do made me feel highly uncomfortable. And there were a lot of places where I doubted. I was like, I just don't know about this. This is just really strange. But my mind told me, Caitlin, you don't know what you're talking about. You're talking to a FBI or a Federal Trade Commission officer. You're talking to someone who knows this type of stuff way better than you. So I chose to trust people who I thought had bigger degrees, better knowledge, rather than trust myself. And that's probably the biggest and most impactful learning lesson that I've had. And then I think the other piece is just to help educate other people. So I've been doing a variety of segments. That's why I've been doing this podcast, that I really want to help spread the word and help people understand that this doesn't just happen to elderly people who aren't necessarily in their right mind. This can happen to anyone, and it's really sophisticated. So the more that others can tell their friends, their families, their community, the better.
Right. And in your case, it was incredibly sophisticated, and you shouldn't knock yourself for trusting them because, you know, you did ask for verification. You saw an ID. There's so much in their script that built trust with you. And it's just, as you said, every walk of life is falling victim to these schemes. And it seems like there's a scheme for every walk of life these days. And hopefully more will start being done. And I think what you're doing to get the word out there as a victim and to kind of maybe take back your life as much as you can, I think is incredibly important because, again, it's a split moment decision or a couple of different split moment decisions about, you know, whether to trust who's on the other line that is presenting themselves as trustworthy. And the sooner that there's a better process in place across the world, really, for making those split moment decisions easier on everyday people, you know, the better off we're all going to be.
Yes, exactly. And I think the other piece of advocacy that I've become passionate about is helping to understand, you know, what changes I might be able to spark in the local and federal government level. So I've been in contact with a senator here in Wisconsin, where I live, about reversing some of the laws that were put in place with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, at least on the local level, maybe eventually on the federal level. So people who are victims like me don't have to be hit with a big second blow of the tax payments because it is really, really tough to swallow. So I'm hoping to maybe spark some energy, provide some new information, and give others a chance to become educated as we near election time and start looking into the implications of some of these laws and acts that they pass.
Right. And you bring up such a good point around re-victimization. That's something that we're seeing a lot of. And the federal government, state governments shouldn't be re-victimizing everyday people. I mean, it is just astonishing that you're in the position that you're in.
Yes. And the trauma, too, you know, the mental and emotional trauma is, it just takes a long time to go through. And I'm healing slowly. However, I certainly am still very nervous and skeptical in many different situations now because I don't know who or what I can trust. And that has set me back significantly. And I'm hoping that eventually, you know, there will be maybe more widespread therapy programs or recovery programs for people like me that can deal with some of the mental and emotional trauma that comes with this.
It's such a good point, and those institutions need to exist and be accessible to people.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, Caitlin, I enjoyed talking with you today. Do you have any final thoughts before we conclude our time?
I don't. I appreciate you having me on the podcast, Melissa, and I encourage others to get educated, understand how these things happen, why they happen, and really to continue to spread that awareness, because the more opportunities that we can stop and nip in the bud in those split second decisions, the less these people who are out there doing these types of crimes will win.
Great place to end it. For WCYB Digital Radio, I'm Melissa O'Leary, partner and chief strategy officer at Fortalice Solutions. Joining me today was Caitlin Henze, a cybercrime victim. For more of our content, visit cybersecurityventures.com.